Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now?
Rebel Radio. Burn it down!
Rebel Radio presents the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, then he's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hot Tag!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome, everybody, to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. We are back. It is Scotty Villa and UK Tom. And is Tom, is that? Who's that I see?
He's you, I see.
The Prince of Darkness, Paralegal Mike, has returned.
The Prince of Darkness, eh?
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you. You guys did a hell of a job. The nicest In My House pro wrestling podcast I had listened to. Very informative. Not a lot of heat. So the paralegal's back.
dude, I hope you had a great trip with you and your lady.
Yeah, it was a blast. It was nice to get away. We're also very happy to be home in the land of McDonald's.
Did you do the double Big Mac and 20 nugs when you got back?
Absolutely. It's a $70 McDonald's order.
Jesus.
For all the audio viewers, if you could see UK Tom's face. I'm getting ring ready.
That's awesome to hear, pal. We're glad to have you back. Tom, how you doing, pal? It's been a week since I've seen you, but you have a good week?
It's been a week. We had a snowstorm. Mm-hmm. I shoveled about a million times.
Damn.
And now it's snowing again.
Yay. Welcome to Saskatchewan in March. Yeah. It's that time of year. But pro wrestling is still around. It's around 24/7 for us, and guys, we got to get into it because AEW Revolution was this past week. Both Tom and I had stated on the last week's show that we're gonna buy it, just weren't gonna drop that $50-$60 for the pay-per-view. And from what I've seen and from what I've read online, is this one was worth dropping $50 or $60 on when it comes to the big matches showing up and providing pay-per-view worthy matches. I don't have buyer's remorse with this one. I used to get that way in the past with AEW. If I missed one, I was like, damn, missed a great card. I'm not there yet, back there yet with the company, but it sounded like this was one to buy.
Sure. Yeah, I caught up on it. Whatever. Tom, go ahead. You're a fan of pro wrestling. Let them know.
Yeah, I also did not have buyer's remorse for not getting the show. However, that may be because I managed... from one of my friends who are, I can't think of the word, media, I got a code just in time to watch the main event.
Nice.
So unfortunately, it's a one-time use code, so I couldn't go back and watch the rest of the show. But I did get to watch the main event in full. So that I probably would have been sad had I not watched that. but I don't care about any of the rest of the show. It was what it was.
It sounded like we missed a hell of a match between Takeshita and Will Ospreay. Ospreay's first match as an official AEW roster member, and those guys sound like they put on a match of the year contender right there. I'm excited to watch it this weekend. I'll find it online and go back to watch that. But with the pre-show, it's 11 matches. Without the pre-show, it's still 9 matches. That, to me, that's just so much. That's a reason why Wrestle Kingdom and now WrestleMania have gone 2 nights for the last few years. It's a lot of matches, and I feel like there's too much burnout by the time I'm getting to the matches that I really want to see at the end of the card. That's for me something that needs to be addressed and fixed. And now it sounds like they're adding more pay-per-views to the calendar, with one coming up in April called Dynasty.
God awful name. Another god awful name.
Yeah. So I don't think they can be pumping out 9 or 11 match cards anymore if they're going to be doing pay-per-views every other month, or eventually what looks like it could be every month. So that's something I hope they address and fix. But from everything that I saw, majority wise, people loved the big matches on this card. Our friend Evan at Caravan got the pay-per-view, and he said he really enjoyed every match. The women's match was a bit of a dud. It was a lot slower and slower paced than the rest of the card. So that was a bit of a bummer to him. But Evan said that he really enjoyed the 8-man all-star match, which was very cool. Cause to me, that was a throwaway match. I didn't give a fuck about that match. Evan said he dug it. So I might have to go watch it.
That makes one person on the planet that enjoyed that show.
Yeah, it's can't agree. Love you, Evan, but my God.
But one thing I'm loving is Will Ospreay. He seemed to be the talk of the town that wasn't in the main event on AEW. Killed that match. He's got a match coming up this week, tonight, as we're recording on Dynamite. And I think this guy will be what Kenny Omega was for the first 4 or 5 years for AEW. He will be the guy. He will be the best boat machine. He'll be the best wrestler in the world, leading AEW into however long he wants to go. So excited about that. Excited to go home after we're done the potty here and going to watch Dynamite tonight to see what Will Ospreay wrestle and see what the next chapter is, because I feel like they're going to start building something. They've been saying that this is a new season for AEW. So I think we're getting a fresh start with a lot of talent starting tonight. Mike, what was your thoughts when you started catching up on what you missed for Revolution?
Obviously, like, Will Ospreay now being full-time AEW is a number one thing to look for in that promotion. I can't remember the last time I saw Will Ospreay in a match I did not like. And it just proved again at Revolution. It was just a hell of a match and super physical. Like, this is where AEW sets itself apart from WWE. And I know everyone's probably listening, like, yeah, you guys are really high on WWE. We are, because we're buying into a lot of the story and what they're doing, building into WrestleMania, their big show. Once again, with AEW show here, it felt like this was booked on a last minute basis almost. Like, it just, I don't feel the story. I'm just watching wrestling for the sake of watching wrestling, which, fine. Like, I love a great wrestling match. Yep. Great work is great work. But this show, again, you said it with them announcing Dynasty. The cards don't need to be that big if your stories are that good. WWE proved it. Like, granted, like, with Elimination Chamber, you have the two chamber matches. Like, when you have a Royal Rumble, you have two Royal Rumble matches. So you're telling stories within two big matches like that for multiple people, and they do a hell of a job. They have 11 matches on the card, and I'm not invested in any of the stories that are happening. If this is a new season, and I know they put new people in place in the office to maybe help this process, but, like, let's start building stories. Let's build into these pay-per-views you're booking. Tonight should show it. Like, we should just be building into Dynasty. That is what the work should be.
I would hope that that's the plan right now, is to build to that pay-per-view. You've got every chance in the world to start building really strong storylines that it's going to be, let's be honest, it'll be tough. WrestleMania right now, it's WrestleMania season. The storylines going into Mania for the main events are massive. They're dominant right now. But you can grab those fans that are still wanting more and pull them into their stories. The Hangman, Adam Page, Swerve, and Samoa Joe storyline, I liked what they did in the match to keep Swerve from winning the title. That story that they told there is very, very good. And they did a decent job of it on Dynamite each week, too. For me, my big issue was is I felt like we already got the blow off between Hangman and Swerve when they had their first series of matches.
I disagree. I disagree with that. I think that's a great program to keep going. Us two guys I'd see wrestle every week.
Yeah.
But this match, like I said, I'm with you. To keep Swerve away from getting that win, awesome. Don't have your fucking refs involved anymore.
Yeah.
The amount of counts where I'm like, you count to three. When you see them holding back a count because someone missed a cue, it proves my point. We all say it. If there's one thing us three can all agree on, AEW refs, worst in the fucking business. Just the worst.
Yep.
I think one thing for me is what I hope happens next is that Takeshita is Samoa Joe's next challenger. Hey. And I actually hope Takeshita is the next AEW champion.
Wow.
And then we can get Ospreay and Takeshita 2 at All in Wembley, and Ospreay takes the title from Takeshita.
In a match, you want to see him take the golden. I can completely agree with that. Unless your plan is Swerve's your guy. It feels every time I see Swerve that they're like, Swerve's going to be the guy.
But then think of the matches we could get with Swerve chasing Ospreay.
Yeah, you're right. That build up, that story could be incredible.
My worry about that is I like the idea of Takeshita becoming a champion because he's getting booed no matter what. He really is. After the match, if he does a great job, then sure, he'll get the standing ovation and whatnot, but he's getting booed no matter what. It with Swerve, he's over as a bad guy. He's too over as a bad guy. And then if you've got Swerve and Ospreay, I'm not saying you're splitting the crowd, but you're kind of splitting the crowd a little bit to the point where sometimes that just doesn't work out in crowds anymore. It doesn't. And the crowd just starts taking over shows and chanting whatever they want.
And another thing, though, to consider is Ospreay almost splits the crowd on his own. Because there are a lot of people that don't like his style. Now, I am not one of those people. I don't think any of those people are on this podcast. I think Ospreay is fantastic. But there are some people who think he's god-awful and in the Jim Cornette level of hatred for Kenny Omega. So Ospreay almost splits the crowd on his own, so it would be interesting to see what happened if they put him in there with Shane Strickland. John Strickland?
Yeah, I think too, like with Pac coming back, you have a potential there with Ospreay and Pac for Wembley.
I would love to see that. You
could have something really special there. I hope that's something that's in the talks. Like when he makes his return, it better be to Ospreay without the title. That blows the roof off the building.
That'd be a hell of a
the match you pay money to go see.
A hell of a starting feud for Ospreay. I think he's going to be in a bit of a feud here with the Callis family. I think he's going to move away, try to get away from the Callis family. But I think Pac should be there waiting for Will Ospreay whenever he's done with that. So I would love to see that. That would be fantastic.
Ospreay and Pac as well would be. Obviously, Wembley makes perfect sense for those two to go at it.
I feel like it's almost too soon to start booking Wembley. Obviously, we know Will Ospreay is going to have a big feature there, and as he should. Yeah. But I just with them adding more pay-per-views to the calendar, I think they need to have Ospreay be like a main event guy, but not in the main event quite yet. I guess what Cody was before he got into the main event storyline, right? Like have killer matches on pay-per-views, have solid storylines, and just be the guy. But I want Ospreay to be saying, I'm coming for that title, but to have a bad guy cut him off, be like, well, you're not jumping the line. I just beat this guy. I just beat that guy. That, I need that him. I need him to use verbiage like, I'm coming for the title without getting there, right? Without being able to get in a match with Samoa Joe. I want that slow burn with Will Ospreay, because it drives me nuts in WWE when I see guys that are having feuds and there's nothing really going on with the feud, and the sole purpose isn't to become the Intercontinental Champion, the World Champion, unless there's a very solid story where it's a personal issue, they've had heat in the past or a past feuds before. I need Will Ospreay to be like, all right, if I got to go through you to get the title, I'm going to do it. Let's do it at the next pay-per-view or at 3 weeks in Dynamite in the main event. I want moments with Will Ospreay and whoever it's going to be big and impactful. I think we're getting another guy tonight on the new debut of the new season of AEW. It sounds like we're getting another big name tonight coming to All Elite Wrestling, which could help that cause.
Matches would be awesome.
Yes. And let's be honest, guys, this potty's probably coming out after Dynamite airs, so we're not spoiling anything.
Yeah.
The rumors are that Okada's showing up tonight.
My heart's broken still about that decision. I and again, it may be a great push for All Elite Wrestling. It may help them in the long run, which will get us really back and invested in the brand. But I think for the star Okada is, and the learning that WWE has done with foreign talent, I just think bigger things for him in the Fed right now. But I think the dealings with New Japan, everything makes sense. Those cards align. Tony's got money.
And Tony's,
and Okada can, and he likes Okada. Who doesn't?
And Tony's already laid it out to wrestlers that live in other countries, you can sign here exclusively, still go work in New Japan or in any UK federation company as you want, and still live there, and then come back over for 6 weeks, you know, 3-4 months, and then go back home for a little bit. He's laid that out with Pac. He's laid that out with Kota Ibushi. So the groundwork is there for that already. Kota fucked himself over there by getting hurt all the goddamn time, but he's allowed that. So
yeah, Kota Ibushi.
So that's my hopes when it comes to Will Ospreay, is that slow burn to a world championship. Hell, I'd even like to see him have a slow burn to a mid-card championship. And then a year from now, getting that world title shot after, you know, proving I've beaten everybody in All Elite Wrestling except for whoever the champion is at the time. So that's where I like to see it. But Revolution, guys, Sting's last match. We saw the ending. We saw every massive highlight you could imagine. If you didn't watch it, even if you did, on social media, of Darby Allin killing himself, Sting going through glass. It sounded like from beginning, middle, and end, the entrances, the promo packages before, the match, and the send-off at the end. Well done, AEW.
So it hurts my soul to say nice things about this match because the Young Bucks were in it. And I fucking hate those twats. Like, they cannot wrestle. They cannot sell. Get the fuck off my TV. However, Sting going through glass made my little GCW heart very happy. The entrances with his sons was amazing. When his son came out as Surfer Sting, I was like, holy fuck, did Sting dye his hair blonde again?
Right.
Which I would have thought was the best thing ever. And then it turned out to be his son, which was also really cool. Side note on the sons, I think his sons had a better Stinger Splash than Sting.
Yeah.
Like,
those AEW sons were killing guys.
The AEW need to sign those boys. They can already work better than the fucking Young Bucks. But but one thing that caught me by surprise was Sting and Darby retaining. Which
your thoughts on that, Tom?
I would be against.
Okay.
Usually I would be, but because those fucking morons were involved, it was the right decision. hell of a way to go out for a legend. And I'm seeing on Twitter a lot this week that WWE would have done a better job with Sting's retirement. No, they fucking wouldn't.
They didn't.
WWE had Sting.
It.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously Sting didn't go there for the longest time, right? Like, it came to a pass where it was like, I need to go there now. Like, I am the icon. I am Sting. I have to go at some point. And when he did, I mean, true WWE fashion, fuck, bud. We don't care who you are. You're getting work. You're doing the job. You're going to do the job to Hunter. You're going to do the job to Seth. He's going to end your WWE career. It, to me, I like that they got the titles. I do. I think this AEW does a good thing for wrestling in the sense it's like, we don't have to follow these rules. Like, AEW has built their promotion off, we don't have to follow the rules set from the past. We can borrow some elements and we can change them and make them our own. I love that about AEW. And this time with them having the belts, granted, like, cool, we're going to probably have another tournament. Who doesn't love a tournament? Yeah, it's great. Let's go. And in that tournament, make your tag team division mean something again. This is where we start. Like, really, you guys, the Young Bucks got in there to make tag team wrestling a big deal. Scott mentions it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And tag team wrestling ended the show and could push forward now and have that kind of run. So fingers crossed to that. In terms of, like, that entrance, like, I know, again, people too, well, WWE didn't give any video footage. Well, apparently you didn't ask.
Yeah.
WWE also mentioned the icon Sting on their programming.
Yeah.
That is a Paul Levesque move. That is in the ear. You mentioned Sting, but then McAfee doesn't know the rules fully about that. So Michael Cole quickly had to step on that. But you know what? Even that little bit is huge.
It is.
Sting's a WWE Hall of Famer. Rightfully so. I mean, if AEW ever decides to do a Hall of Fame, which they probably won't, because I don't think they're going to be around that long. Listen, I know it sounds negative, but, like, prove me wrong, AEW. Prove me wrong.
If the time comes and it does happen, do you think Sting would be the first inductee?
100%.
Yes.
100%.
I agree.
I think Sting and Brody Lee.
Brody Lee, at that point, Brody Lee should be first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would make Brody Lee first. Granted, unless you look at, like, that whole year of, like, that class going in as the first, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. Both of them are Cody.
I think some time needs to pass before Cody gets in, because it sounds like the issue is with Cody and Tony and not Cody and anybody else.
No, reading, like, that interview with the Young Bucks, I forget if it was with Sports Illustrated or whoever, nothing but nice things to say.
Yeah, they said they still text to Cody almost every week, so.
Of course.
Yeah, it, like, makes sense.
For Cody, he did the right thing to leave and become the megastar.
Yeah.
Like, I hate to admit that, because fuck that guy.
My worry is right now.
We can't both go off on rants on the same episode.
Oh, it's Tom's episode.
It's a Tom episode.
I got the title already.
My little issue right now with the Fed is you've brought people back like Andrade, and you brought people back like Naomi, and you've jobbed out Naomi already, I think, twice now since she's come back on SmackDown. And the Elimination Chamber, she was the first one out. And she's lost to Tiffany Stratton the other week on SmackDown. Andrade just had his first match. He came back in January. It is now March. To not very much crowd applause when he showed up on Monday this past week, which killed me. And then he fought Apollo Crews, who we haven't seen on Monday Night Raw in like 2-3 years. So I know it's because it's right before Mania and they're probably going to do their reset after Mania. But bringing these guys back to have them in the Rumble to get that moment, I almost wish you just save it for the night after Mania, Raw or SmackDown. I feel like you would have much more of an impact for, all right, let's get these guys in the storyline, because we were all pumped for Andrade coming back. And then we got a couple of vignettes, a few weeks later and that was it. And I'm like, fuck, man, like you're killing the guy's momentum already. I know you can easily get that back, but for right now, I'm like, damn, I feel bad for Andrade because he didn't get a pop on Monday. He just didn't. It sucked.
It again, bad time of year. And you get signed when you do to say fuck you to everyone else. Mm-hmm. We signed Andrade. We got these talents. They're coming back here. The grass isn't greener. That's a business move. That's why you do that. I think Andrade will be fine. I don't think Andrade is ever going to be a world champion, a world heavyweight champion. There's no fucking way.
I wonder if the lack of pop on Raw is because they insist on changing people's music.
You're 100% right there.
Andrade's music hit on Raw, and even me with my stupid wrestling brain that remembers everything was like, who the fuck's this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he came out, and I was like, oh, I love Andrade.
They a part of that creative? Like, is that a thing too? Like, he wanted that rebranding? Like, he wanted the music to change?
I believe there's issues with the people who made the music at the time that Andrade was there last, because everybody, with the exception of Shinsuke, their music has changed.
Was that the CFOs or CEOs?
Yeah, Shinsuke and Kevin Owens kept theirs. Mm-hmm. And like, they tried to take Shinsuke's away, and he went as far as like, fuck you guys, if you take my music, I'll retire. So like, I think there's issues with CFOs.
Wild. I know. Well, Sami Zayn still got his same music, and
but he did lose it for
Lose it for a bit. That's right. That's right. So the great Sami Zayn.
Favorite.
we touched on it a few minutes ago here in the show. Tom has some thoughts.
Tom, yeah. You got some thoughts.
So I really like Sami Zayn, and I enjoy his work. His promos can sometimes annoy me. As I said on Twitter, which started this conversation, in my opinion, Sami Zayn should not be the one to end Gunther's Intercontinental title reign. In my opinion, that should be to someone who's never been an Intercontinental champion before, a new up-and-coming person, which is why I was deadly serious when I said I want Dominic Mysterio to take that title from Gunther.
Wow. So,
all right. In his Tom thought, yes, I agree. I agree Sami Zayn should not beat Gunther for that Intercontinental Championship. I just don't see it. I like Chad Gable, though.
Chad Gable would be, the match would be better. Chad Gable was my second pick. I went with Dominic for how much fun I had watching those two wrestle on Raw this week.
First of all, I'll take exception to the match would be better part. Sami Zayn main evented WrestleMania last year. Let's not forget that.
No, I meant Chad Gable and Gunther would be better than Gunther and Dominic.
Okay, good. All right. You're off the hook.
I think it would be better than Sami Zayn and Gunther.
Yeah, well, you weren't here last week, so your opinion doesn't mean as much.
Getting murdered in the fun fact this week, Scotty.
We're not in the business of missing shows. So I take exception to the fact that Sami Zayn shouldn't be the guy to beat Gunther, because I do believe Sami Zayn could easily be the guy to beat Gunther. He has been the perfect underdog for, I would say, 2 years now, starting with the Bloodline storyline. He could be the guy and have the crowd behind him and take an ass whooping like nobody else, because that's kind of what Sami Zayn does. However, I will agree with you that it should not be Sami Zayn that beats Gunther at WrestleMania this year for the Intercontinental title. I'm with Mike. It should be Chad Gable for two reasons. One, Sammy's talking about he needs to be a world champion, a world heavyweight champion. He said that in those promos starting around Christmas time before he came back to the ring, that's his next goal. I think that will come into play much later this year. But Chad Gable had three great matches. It was three, right? Three great matches with Gunther on Raw, where in the last one, he barely lost. He had Gunther. And the crowd had a tremendous response to Chad Gable's matches. And the last one was, I believe, in front of Chad Gable's family, which got even gone through even more heat. I think you should pay that off at WrestleMania this year. One-on-one, no interference, no fucking around. Chad Gable finally gets the best of Gunther. And I think you've made a superstar right there. May not be a world champion, may not last 6 months, but you've made a worker right there with Chad Gable.
He'll have the worker's title. He'll have the worker's title. The one that I think is you watch for. Like, I agree. He won't be a world heavyweight champion. Gunther will be.
Yeah. Well, so this little conversation also leads quite nicely into my little pop quiz question that I have for you, which I will be very, very surprised if either of you get right. But you might prove me wrong.
I won't.
Hold on. If I get this right.
No. Whatever you're going to say, no. The answer is no.
If I get this right, I can't have a fun fact written about me. If I don't get it or get it wrong in any way, then feel free to do what you got to do.
Perfect. Okay.
Verbal contract.
Okay. So, do either of you know the name that Gunther used in Japan? And I will give you a clue. It's not Walter, because that's obviously too easy.
Oh. I don't know. I don't.
I'm going to take a guess.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh. I don't have a clue. I don't have a fucking clue. I was going to go with a fat white boy name, but
yeah, well,
maybe he's already taken. Heyo!
Hey!
What is it?
So, it was kind of a mean question, but the answer is Gotcha Ping. So, it's... which the spelling of is GHA-CHA-Ping.
Wild. Never knew that. Yeah. Never heard that.
And also, and I, you can Google it to make sure I'm telling the truth, he had bright green hair.
I've seen pictures.
Just fact checking right now.
I've seen pictures of him with different colored hair before as a chubby young boy. And I've shown it to my wife, and I said, you've recognized this wrestler. He wrestles in WWE now, and she's never been able to get it. I'm like, that's Gunther. That's Walter.
And wow.
Yeah. Right.
UK Tom. That's right. The brains and the beauty of In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Well, what do we think? We're still on the topic of the Fed. Let's talk the Hall of Fame. We brought up the potential AEW Hall of Fame, but let's talk about WWE's Hall of Fame inductees that have been announced. Scotty Villa, who is joining the class in this year's Hall of Fame ceremony?
On Monday, we heard that Paul Heyman is going into the Hall of Fame as the first inductee for the 2024 class. Very, very cool. Today, as we record the show, which is Wednesday, Bull Nakano was announced of going into the WWE Hall of Fame as well. Two names that literally everyone is like, perfect. For Bull Nakano, finally, it's a perfect fit. And with Paul Heyman, I mean, WrestleMania is in Philadelphia this year, so there had to be some sort of ECW representation, in my opinion. And Paulie's the perfect guy. Paulie has done it all. I believe he got into the wrestling business, I read, when he was 13 years old, and has worked in AWA, NWA, WCW, ECW, WWE. The guy's a legend and still going strong. And I'm really, really hoping they give him a lot of time to talk. I think he very well easily could be the headliner. And fantastic. For Bull Nakano, I only know her from clips on Twitter and when she would fight Medusa in the earlier mid-90s in WWF. But she was like the top woman's opponent for Medusa or Alundra Blaze in WWF. And she was the only one that was believable when she would fight Medusa. Everyone else was just, you know, kind of a jobber. But yeah, Bull Nakano and Paul Heyman going to the WWE Hall of Fame. Tom, what do you think?
As soon as they announced WrestleMania was in Philly, I remember saying to people, Paul Heyman will headline the Hall of Fame that year.
Yeah.
Which is right. And I am so excited for his speech.
Oh, man.
Because that guy, he just has a direct link to my funny bone. He makes me laugh so much. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm reading. I don't know if it's true. It's currently just a rumor that Triple H will be the one to induct him, which surprised me.
Interesting.
I popped at my desk today when I saw that tweet saying that Bull Nakano was going in. It's about time. She was the awesome Kong of her generation, just destroying motherfuckers all over the place. And one hell of a talent. If people haven't seen it, I highly recommend going out of your way to try and find the steel cage match that she had with Manami Toyota. Fantastic match.
Absolutely. Is that with the leg drop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That a leg drop from the top of the cage in a Japanese ring? No, thank you. But yeah, I think it's going to be a great class this year, so I'm looking forward to it.
Before we end, before we go, we got 3 minutes left. Let's all take one more guess for who's next as a Hall of Fame inductee in this year's class of the WWE Hall of Fame. Scotty Villa, let's start with you.
I think Batista's going in this year. He was supposed to go in a few years ago, then the pandemic hit. He said, I don't want to go in if there's no fans there. He's out doing movie press now for a movie, which means he's not working on a movie right now. So I think the timing could work out. So my guess is Batista. And it's just a pure bullshit guess.
UK Tong.
I'm going to go with the Sandman.
Ooh, cool.
Because ECW, Philly, plus he's currently under a legend deal. And another reason is I just want to hear what the hell he would say in his induction.
Yep.
It would be hilarious. Mike, who you got?
I'm saying it. I think we saw it from the Rumble. I do think Tommy Dreamer, Billy's other favorite son, is going to be inducted this year. I think you get the ball rolling with TNA. I think they know at some point, hey, I don't think you guys are going to make it, because I don't think they will either. But I think Tommy Dreamer makes sense in Philly. It doesn't make sense anywhere else. Tommy Dreamer has to go in Philly. I thought it was at this point, like, you'll have to have a women's talent, like, and do that. But this could be the who's who of, like, an ECW class going in. And especially with that crowd, that's what they want. They want their people. And I think Tommy would be the way to go.
The two ECW legends that you guys picked would be perfect for this year. The only other person I could think of would be Taz. But he's not available. He's in AEW.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sandman, Tommy Dreamer would be great to go along with the Dudleys and Paul Heyman and Rob Van Dam for ECW Originals. I think it would make sense. And I think it'd be perfect for Tommy to go in this year. Hopefully he does. He's not leaving any hints at all on Busted Open each week. So,
is Sabu in?
Nope.
No.
No. He'd be a great one too, but I don't know. He says some shit. So
I love it.
Yeah. Guys, it's great to all have us all back. Mike, welcome back. Thanks for speaking up. You said earlier this week, boys, can we record on the Wednesday instead of Tuesday so I can be on? And we love that. So absolutely.
I'm missing my guys. Missing my guys.
Hit us up on the socials at In My House Pod, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And let us know what you think of the show and Dynamite this week. Same with SmackDown. As always, we're back next week right here. I need my house pro wrestling podcast. Cheers. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. It's my house. Yowie wowie.